Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Come on and give me some of that old
we stand together.
I have an itch, baby.
I love you.
Love you. Love you.
Te quiero. Te amo. Te adoro.
I woke up this morning feeling strange. It was like I just fought for something more important than my own life. It was like I was fighting for love. Beautiful, beautiful, understand this. I was fighting for you, my wife, 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 wife. I was fighting the temptation of me wanting my love of my travel. I was fighting the gift that God gave to me, you see, because he made me just for you. I fought my desire not to cry in front of you. You see, in front of you, I saw my life complete. By your side, I saw the reason for me to live my life with someone other than myself. Behind you, beautiful, behind you, I saw every woman who didn't compare to you. And in my heart of hearts, I felt you keeping me alive. Now this morning, maybe this morning, I woke up feeling strange. I felt this way because you weren't there beside me. And I tell myself this has to be a dream. This can't be real. This can't be reality. Nah, nah, baby, this is not the way that I feel. So instead of accepting this for what it is, I force my subconscious to submit to my will. You see, I need to have you laying beside me like I need the world to believe that I exist. Like Donald Sterling needs the world to believe in his bullshit. Baby, so I fight like our love depends on it, like Malcolm fought for Betty and his family. I fight for you, cause you're the only thing in this world that matters to me. I fight to relive the dream that I have within my dream, because this nightmare that I'm living in right now is more than I can bear. And yeah, baby, I know I'm strong, and as cliche as this may sound, baby, I'm so much stronger with you here. So I fight to remember how your lips taste like mangoes the first thing in the morning, and how your skin feels like a cool breeze on a hot summer's day. I fight to remember how your eyes dance every time that you smile, and how the scent of us making love to our love every day drives me wild. And then, beautiful, just when I think I can't fight anymore, I wake up to your voice saying,
te adoro, te amo.
mic check, man, I'm still getting faded. Just to make it where I made it, I have to feel that I made it. I'm still putting out classic shit, but half of it gets degraded. But the kind of stuff I compose just leaves my enemies jaded. But I mean like jealousy, because their color is green. It's like a routine with the green to ease the issues that I've seen. I used to sleep on the couch when I started with Missing Springs. Now my vision's not the only thing that's fit for a king. I've always been good with lyrics, I memorized the whole chronic. But in middle school, I'll admit, I used to be hooked on phonics. And I used to hate to play my instrument, but that's ironic, cause my vocals play on instruments and it comes out iconic. But enough with the past, so let's keep that shit behind us. If you don't know who's on the track, I feel like they're like reminders. It's D double easy, but you can say Your Highness. And third letter in the alphabet, but don't forget his minus. I get asked why I don't keep no company, but I'm like, my bad. Feel like half of them don't want you to succeed, but I'm like, my bad. And my conscience keeps telling, don't chase the green, but I'm like, my bad. I'm not hard to please, just keep it Cali green inside of my bag. I get asked why I don't keep no company, but I'm like, my bad. Feel like half of them don't want you to succeed, but I'm like, my bad. And my conscience keeps telling, don't chase the green, but I'm like, my bad. I'm not hard to please, just keep it Cali green inside of my bag. Now I don't wait for checks, I go and get it, I'm on the trail. My bad for all the days that I waited for it in the mail. You seem to think that I'm a fail as far as you can tell, but right as I started doing well, it's just like you in hell. Don't ask me if I seen your friend, I must have missed her. This life I'm on is going fast, but not too fast for pictures. The way I spent this game, you would think I was missing dentures. I sort of put my all into these scriptures, cause you are talking to a man with his back against the wall. I'm still ready to go to war and just sacrifice it all. You can tell that I'm warming up, I'm practicing just the ball. Cause when the championship rings, I swear that I won't miss my call. Man, I'm gonna make it whether if you're here or not. But before I get the game, it's foreplay, so I get it hot. Only way I can see me stopping is if I'm dead or shot. So if you're thinking you could bet against me, you better not. I get asked why I don't keep no company, but I'm like, my bad. Feel like half of them don't want you to succeed, but I'm like, my bad. And my conscience keeps telling, don't chase the green, but I'm like, my bad. I'm not hard to please, just keep it Cali green inside of my bag. I get asked why I don't keep no company, but I'm like, my bad. Feel like half of them don't want you to succeed, but I'm like, my bad. And my conscience keeps telling, don't chase the green, but I'm like, my bad. I'm not hard to please, just keep it Cali green inside of my bag.
Okay, let me try this again. Can you hear me? Erica, wave your hand. Erica, can you hear me? I opened up the phone line. Oh, no. Maybe I didn't open up your phone line. Erica, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yay! You know, I was having a big old conversation. I was like, okay, well, it's a good thing Erica was listening because I didn't know it. Nobody could hear me. So, yay for Erica. How are you, baby girl?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, you know, it's a little rough right at the moment, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. Let me just tell everybody who I played. So since Erica graciously let me know that you can hear me speaking, I jumped into some tracks. I played Eric Moore with For You, going in to Peta Wayne out in New York with Keep Watching What I'm Doing, closing out that set with Walt Dees with My Bad. So life's been a little challenging. I think that you can relate to that, Erica. You know, when you think that you got things going on the straight and narrow and got your path kind of figured out, and you're kind of throwing a curveball. So that's kind of what's taking place for me right now. On top of the fact of losing a dear, dear friend who passed away yesterday, and it just surprised me. He'd been very, very sick for a long time, and it shouldn't have surprised me, but it was like when I came on Facebook and I saw a post by another friend about it, I was like, oh no. So of course I rushed to his page, and sure enough, people were going down his wall, tearing their stories and giving their condolences. And so it was that reminder of, you know, life is short, you know, you just don't know, you know, and tomorrow's not promised. And And it made me just kind of look at my life and my approach and go into this year. And I don't know if you ever get this way, Erica, but I think what happened is because I was so goal-oriented going into 2015, I kind of lost sight of other things. I was paying attention, but maybe not paying attention. And I think that's what threw me off with some things is that you know, even like with Dwayne, you know, I felt like I should have been aware that things were getting worse for him. And maybe I shouldn't have, but I felt like maybe I missed something. And then some changes have shifted for me when it comes to business that I did not see coming and was so not prepared that it almost feels like I've been devastated by the changes in somebody. And so, I don't know, do you think that you ever get so focused on where you're trying to go that you miss some signs that have led your life to shift?
Absolutely. I think that's why towards the end of the year and going into 2015, a lot of your posts and your memes that you were sharing, I was able to relate on a large magnitude of a scale because, you know, I relocated to Las Vegas. And the reason for that was to expand the territory of my organization, IROC. And I was really dependent on what I don't want to say assume because, you know me, I'm very thorough making sure that everyone is on the same page.
Right.
Yet when I became very ill in 2014, I was in and out of the hospital, hooked up to IVs for like 7 months. And so, of course, I could not be as proactive as I usually am because, you know, I go 0 to 1,000. So everything pretty much shut down. And I was really hoping that, you know, at least things would carry on due to my sickness. And it kind of fell to the wayside. And I know everyone is busy, but I feel like now I have to, I've missed some steps. And now, and then I started to think maybe I moved too fast in wanting to expand it. But it's really interesting because I read an article one day, I don't know if it was the Huffington Post or Forbes or Entrepreneur Magazine, I'm not sure which one. But the article basically gave a description between and a distinction between the way entrepreneurs think and the way small business people think. And the major difference between the two is small business people, they do think of the major idea of what to create, but they want to be a part of the day-to-day type of small stuff. And then they may take a risk, but they may not take such a big risk in fear that it'll damage the business. And then entrepreneurs, they think of the big scale, the big idea, but then they bring people along with them to partner or to work with them so that, you know, the other stuff can get done while they go on to the next phase to make it even bigger.
Sure.
And so it really made me understand why I decided to make the move that I made. So it kind of evened itself out, I guess you could say, because on the IROC scale, I feel like I have to revamp it and make it, I don't want to say smaller in what we're trying to do, but just, I guess, kind of trim the fat, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to the even out part on the lighter note, more positive note, because I'm in Vegas, a comedian that I've been supporting when I was out there, he has the casting company I used to work for out here. I used to always post, you know, opportunities to be in movies and, you know, TV shows and things like that. And he was the only one who bit on the information. And because he bit on the information, his career has taken off. He's been in two stage plays. He's in the new Halloween movie that's going to come out in October of this year.
Nice.
He's going to be in another movie with Seth Rogen. I think it's a comedy about Steve Jobs or something. Mm-hmm. And he's got a lot of other stuff. And so he's about to move to L.A. And he called me one day, and he said that he wants me to be his manager.
Mm.
So that kind of evened out good. And then a poet that goes by Corey the Poet in the Bay Area, his manager, she texted me and wanted to know if I would be willing to be the booking coordinator for here in Las Vegas for him. So
okay.
It kind of, I guess now, I guess I can say that I'm going to implement that into what IROC does on a different side, because
mm-hmm.
it still is going to be supporting of independent artists. But I do understand what you mean by being goal oriented. You thought you had this in place and this in place and this was going to happen, and then something kind of like wakes you up, like, okay, I forgot something or I missed this step. And it can be frustrating when it happens,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, everything for the greater good to those who glorify. So because I'm a strong believer in faith, I know everything is for a reason.
Right.
I know it's going to work out for something better. And because of everything that has happened, I feel like now my savior is making me go more in the forefront. So you know how you're just in the forefront? I mean, you do represent other companies. You do represent who you're working with, but you're just,
mm-hmm.
you really are more in the forefront. And
yeah.
I've been so comfortable with wanting to be in the back because I'm, you know, I used to call myself the cheerleader. So I'm so used
right.
to being that now he wants me to lead the cheer. So
yeah.
It's kind of scary in a way, but I have to shake that fear off because I know I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of making sure I'm paying more attention and
sure.
knowing that if I am paying attention, just making sure that I'm letting him guide my steps to do it and it's not me wanting to do it. Because I do know that me coming out here to Vegas was what I wanted to do
mm-hmm.
on
okay.
different levels. And
okay.
and I think I just moved too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can appreciate what you're saying, Erica, because you know that I have a very, very strong faith base also. And that I also
mm-hmm.
believe that, you know, from the very beginning of when I built my coffee shop to, you know, really becoming known under the umbrella of Flava Coffee House as Lady Flava, that my calling was much greater than myself, you know, and that
mm-hmm.
I was in a position to serve others and, you know, and that, you know, maybe the ways that I thought I was meant to do it have changed. But I think a lot of that just simply has to do with too growing. You know, this is not an easy industry to be a part of, as you know, and
mm-hmm.
Things are always changing, and creative souls are not easy people to work with, you know, but when you have a clear understanding and you are one that research and educates yourself, which you do just like I do, you know, you recognize, you know, that you're meant to be here, and you recognize in the direction that seems to be where you're supposed to be. And I think that's the beautiful thing, to be in a place, Erica, where you can recognize that, because I'm definitely in that place too. You know, going into this year, I understood that the direction I was going is not necessarily changing, but it's taking on a different tone. And in it taking on a different tone, it's really working for me. And
mm-hmm.
it set me up more, not as much as an artist cheerleader, but of course you know that I still cheer people on, but more as a business person. And that's the direction that I really wanted this to go eventually, was to shift into an actual business where I have more capabilities, more connections, and more to offer, you know, to the artists and industry community. And so, you know, before I go any further, Erica, I'm so glad you called in. But why don't you introduce yourself and tell people really who you are and what iRock is?
Okay, thank you. So my name is Erica Reed, but I'm known in the entertainment industry as E. Reed. And it's almost 2 years now. I was working for it's a community supported radio station called KPFA in Berkeley, California, right down the street from University of Berkeley. And that opportunity pretty much fell into my lap. The engineers and the other co-hosts, I've known them since I was a teenager, and they found out that I was working with an artist on what he was doing with his music, and so they offered me the opportunity to be the female voice of the show. And when that opportunity fell into place, I just realized, okay, you know, if I go to events and I network with other artists, then, you know, things can grow. And then by networking with other artists, two artists in particular are also connected to radio stations. So the homie Noti is connected to All Day Play Youth Radio in Oakland, California. And Igor Vietz is a DJ and producer and business owner. And he has bayliferadio.com. And that's online, of course. And so I decided to meet with them one July and ask them if they would be interested in formulating an organization that would support independent artists and allow their artistry to be played on air. And that enhanced called it iRock, which stands for Independent Radio Coalition, because all the stations are independent stations. And so and since then, we've actually grown. So I am proud to say that we have connected with another independent organization that just made us go international. It's based in South Africa. It's called the Wanubi Project. And they just actually coordinated a deal with Universal to get independent artists' music distributed. So they're now accepting submissions. And then there's another independent radio station called Four Aces Presents, and they have two segues. They have one NVT East, and which is Now Versus Then East, and then NVT West, which is Now Versus Then West. And I'm a part of the NVT West, of course. And that opportunity also just kind of fell in my lap, based on a conversation I was having with an artist. And so this guy just, you know, decided to befriend me on Facebook, and, you know, it just took off from there. So I guess, I mean, we've grown in a way where artists have more opportunities to get heard and to have opportunities where there's just a lot of positive things in our goodie bag. So, you know, the fact that iRock has taken a different direction on the way I thought it would go.
Okay.
I think that's a good thing. It's just, you know, I wish that, with the lack of a better phrase, I wish I could just not be the only one as excited and focused on it. You know what
okay.
I mean? And not to say that that's so much of a bad thing, but it's almost like being, you know, that phrase where people say they're around a bunch of people all the time, but yet they feel like they're alone.
Sure.
So I guess it's one of those type of situations. And, you know, that does happen in the entertainment industry. So in any industry, really, I mean, depending on what level you're on. So
right.
I'm glad it's going the way that it's going. I'll leave it like that. But and we also still do IROC Tuesday, which is every third Tuesday. It's coming up next Tuesday. Not the Tuesday coming up, but the one after. And we give artists the opportunity to rock the stage. They can get anywhere between 2 songs or 7 minutes, depending on what it is that they're doing. All genres are welcome. It's at Sweet Fingers in San Leandro, 408 East 14th Street in San Leandro and California. And it's we're going on 2 years of IROC being actually what it is. We'll be 2 years in July. So I'm excited about that because July is really, like, right around the corner.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what other opportunities are getting ready to take off. And I'm looking forward to the challenge of being able to manage it on a scale that before I was managing things for other people, but this time I'm managing it still for other people, for the independent artists, but really for the vision that I had.
Right.
So I'm grateful for that opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it. So, I mean, if anyone is interested in wanting to learn more about IROC, we do have a website. It's the official IROC. It's the official IROC.wix.com/ the official IROC, and IROC is spelled IROC. We do have a Facebook page. You can just type in the official IROC. We are on Twitter. We're on Instagram. But the best way to really just connect with us and learn more about us and learn the entire story of how we got together and knowing the faces of who we are is to go to our website. And, just if you have music you want to submit or want to know more about us or what we can do, you're welcome to leave a message in an email. It'll come straight to me and I'll be able to respond. And I'm very much in the know. So you won't ever have to wait a bunch of days before you get a response. You won't. if we get more in tune with each other, then you'll get my personal cell phone number and then you can call me anytime. So it's just one of those things where IROC is here and put together so that artists can be heard on a different scale, because I like to categorize it as there's mainstream, but then there's underground mainstream. And I think last year Macklemore set that major bar for underground mainstream. And by being on the Grammys and winning the Grammy, I thought that was just absolutely amazing. So I know there's an opportunity for more independent artists to get on that scale. They just need the support that they need in order to get there. And the independent radio stations like Flavor Coffee House is those type of stations to be able to do that, because you're heard on a different scale. You're not just heard locally. And at the end of the day, what artist who wants to change the world really just wants to be heard locally, you know? So you kill more birds with one stone working with more and sending your music to more stations and more opportunities where they have other opportunities for you to get heard and be put in front of people that you never thought you'd be put in front of. So I think that's a good thing.
Well, now that you brought up Macklemore, I'll speak a little bit on that. But first of all, Erica, I'm very proud of you, you know, and I told you years ago that, you know, I saw your greatness, and I knew that, you know, because you're a go-getter, because you're a doer, that you would figure it out. And it is very, very hard when you think you're building a team and then you realize that you are the team, because you and I have both been in that particular position. I think there are different ways of getting out there and being known. But I think what Macklemore did is that he had a team. He had financial resources, and he had the means to be able to do certain things. And his team was very, very smart in recognizing who was paying attention to him. And when they realized who was paying attention, who then became their consumer, they catered to that. And Macklemore has a very, very young following, the teenagers. And it is very clear that when teenagers like something, they are going to somehow get the money to support it. And they don't have that concept that you don't pay, you know, like adults do. It's like kids will come up with the money. And so Macklemore is very popular out here in the middle schools and high schools amongst certain people. And so that's kind of what helped push him out there, is because the kids just fell in love with his style and his hype and stuff. And so he was smart. He paid attention to that. That then opened up more doors, because when it comes to people in the industry, they do want to know you're going to make money for them. You know, if they invest in you, if they bring you on or whatever, they're not going to bring somebody on that's not going to make money. And so Macklemore and his team, Ryan Lewis, they're very smart business-wise, and they have a team behind them. Now, a lot of people, a lot of artists do not have that in their favor, you know. But I think that in their own way that they can build that capability if they're smart. And that's the hard thing is finding a team that believes in you. I had a conversation with somebody recently, you know, and you've heard this conversation, and we've said it our own selves. Like, why is nobody supporting us? You know, we've put on all this effort. We've made investments, in work and in money and this and that to build something, and then nobody's supporting. And I now I'm at a point, like, why are they not supporting? You know, and if they're not gravitating towards what you're doing, are you doing something that's worth supporting? You know?
Right.
You know? I mean, we have to look at that, like, because when it comes to business, you need to be able to provide something that there's a demand for, that there's a need for.
Exactly. There has to be a good product.
Yeah. And so, you know, I had to say, maybe they don't like what you're doing. You know, maybe it's not done well. You know, because we are in a competitive arena, you know, I'm not sure, and you could tell me this, but I'm not sure. I think possibly when it comes to the underground scene, that production levels may not be as important as just being able to create a hype and being able to create a following with a product that people are gravitating towards, where a lot of the people in the industry part that I'm dealing with, production, your artist package, all of that is very, very important to move forward. And so I do think that there's different levels. I mean, what do you think, Erica, as far as what I just said?
I agree with you. I think there are different levels. And to give an example, you know, the artists that come to our IROC shows, you know, a lot of them, you can tell they're not groomed for taking it to the next level. They're groomed for their friends and what they personally feel is, you know, should be the top of the charts, or what is, I like to consider, hood popular, you know, rather than what is global popular.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to production, I know a couple of artists that, I mean, seeing them perform live, because I booked some of them for my own personal intimate shows outside of IROC, and they are phenomenal, but the production of their work, it's kind of like, okay, if you just took this extra sound out, or if you just, you know, tweak this a little bit. And I think when it comes to to touch on the basis of support, I think for me, the why there's, you know, possibly some doubt is probably because people really don't, and that's my fault too, because I don't talk about it a lot, and I don't brag about it like that, but a lot of people really don't know that I am musically inclined. I used to read music. I used to play an instrument. I used to sing in the choir. I was trained by a professional teacher who used to teach our choir. I used to sing in the gospel choir. So I have a musical background. On top of that, I do a lot of studying just on my own accord before I got into the industry about entertainment and old Hollywood and acting and music and things like that. So for me, on touching on the subject of having a good product, it's really about, at the end of the day, you have to have a product that people can relate to. If they can't relate to your product, then it's not going to make sense. And it's natural, it's a natural human instinct that if it doesn't make sense, they're either going to disregard it or they're going to find some reason to hate it. It's just a natural human thing. And I'm starting to learn and following the gentleman who managed Taylor Swift. His name is Rick Barker. I don't know if you've heard of him. He has an organization called the Music Industry Blueprint. And just before the new year, he held two webinars. And each webinar was 2 hours. So I spent 4 hours learning from this guy who just allowed anybody who wanted to ask a question about the industry and what to do and anything like that, he answered them. And to be a part of his organization, well, before it was like $500, but now it's $1,500. And the reason why is because American Idol that everybody is watching right now, he is a consultant behind the scenes of American Idol.
Sure.
And the year that Taylor Swift won all of those awards, it had nothing to do with her album. It had everything to do with her followers. And how he created the system for her to get people to like her and then like her music. So I think the entertainment industry has shifted now because, you know, the world is so vain and it's all about me, 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 and I, and look what I'm doing and come to my thing and only like me and not them or whatever. I think because it's shifted in a way where it's so much more vain rather than just about the music, you can have thousands of music artists that have great quality music, but if the public cannot relate to them on a personal level, they don't care.
Right.
They're not tangible. So I think it goes both ways. So you have to have a good product so that by the time the public gets to know you, they now want to buy your stuff. And then you can't be so greedy to not want to give something away for free. Because if you think really like a business, businesses have no problem in giving something away for free.
Right.
To grab your attention. And then once they have you hooked, now they're going to do X, Y, and Z to get you to pay for this, this, and this.
Sure.
And then what ends up happening, the ticket sales to go see them in concert goes from maybe on a small scale at a show like $10, and now 2 years later, now it's $40. You know? So I think if artists can look at it that way, they'll be okay.
I think that you made a very good point. And you know, and what I was hearing you say, baby girl, is that, you know, in a sense, you have to be likable as a artist or somebody even just in the industry, that you have to have really good people skills. You have to have a personality and a presence that people want to gravitate to. And so much is an image. And I'm okay with that part, you know, because a lot of the artists that I have gravitated to is because I actually really like their presence. I like how they carry themselves and things like that. And so that's what causes me to then take it to the next level of you know, being willing to, you know, take a look at what they're creating or what they're doing. Personality and, you know, me getting along is a really, really big deal. The artists that I play on my radio show, I have some form of connection. I have some type of understanding and win-win with them. I can tell you stories about all the artists that I play. You know, whether it comes mm-hmm. from their representation or whether it comes from them as an individual artist, I can talk about them. And that's how I want Flava Coffee House shows to be, is that, you know, that there is an intimate feel to it, that I can introduce you to these artists beyond their music. When I was with the record label, I really learned a lot. It was a horrible experience for me, but it was one of the best experiences for me.
And wow, one of the things, really?
Oh, yeah. And so one of the things I did learn, again, it goes back to your whole presentation is really important, from your paperwork to your sound to your look. And you, there's nothing about artist development. You have to come polished to them. They are. Mm-hmm. It's not like Motown when they developed you and took the pictures, how you should take the pictures, how you perform, and the dance steps. It's none of that. And
nope.
And this is a very large record label, global, that had five labels under its umbrella. You know, and so. There were times when they would tell you, if I sign you, you have to change your name. If they didn't like the way that your name sound, or it was not a good reflection of them, they would not sign you. Not because
right.
you weren't talented, but because of your name. So you had to be willing to change your name. There was a time when I had to tell a very well-known artist out there to lose weight.
Oh, wow.
That was a requirement, was for him to lose weight, you know, and he didn't sign. He did not sign with them, you know, and he's very, very popular, you know, so it's interesting, you know. Like what this industry's
yeah.
expectation is. And it really comes down to the whole package. You know, you have to be able to really bring people in. If you want to go that level, and I think that's something that artists need to really recognize, where they want to go with what they're doing. You have to have really good people skills to make it in this industry, or you have to have
yes.
somebody in the forefront who is really speaking for you, that people gravitate towards that person to then turn around and pay attention to you. But when you're starting out, I think you really have to have good people skills. And if you throw off a negative energy, you may not get the attention. The other thing that I liked what you said, Erica, is that they could kill it on stage, but when they get in the studio and they're recorded, it's horrible. And it's not necessarily always just the production of it. Some artists just don't record well, or the people they're working with, recording, don't know how to make them sound good. You know,
or the equipment is bad.
Right. You know, and so... Mm-hmm. There's so many different reasons why a production may not be good. But I think that artists need to be honest with themselves as to where they want to really go and what they're really willing to invest. I know that I got attacked big time when I put out a post last year about Jay-Z and Beyonce's concert here. And I was like,
oh, I
okay.
missed that one.
Oh, people were paying $200 a ticket, if not more, to go see Jay-Z and Beyonce. You know, and you know that they were buying outfits and getting their hair done, and Jay-Z and Beyonce didn't even know they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, you're willing to go pay $200 to see Jay-Z and Beyonce, but you're not willing to pay $10 to support an artist locally that you claim you support.
That's a really good point.
And I was attacked. I was called all kinds of bitches. They were like circulating me all over the internet. Like, check out what this chick is saying. You know, and I was like, really? I got attacked. Wow. I was like, wow. And they were like, but Jay-Z and Beyonce, they put on a good show. Yeah, because they got the money. They got the experience. They've had the years behind them. Everybody starts somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere. You know, and so it was like, are you really listening to what you're saying? But you got your homies right here in Seattle. You claim to support, but you don't want to pay to support their shows or to support their product. You know, and it definitely showed me people will come up with the money for what they want to spend it on. There were people who I personally know claimed to be broke all the time was at that show.
Yeah, they will do that. They will definitely, you know, do that.
So I say that to say, too, artists invest in what they are, want to invest in. And
absolutely.
On all scales. On all scales. Whether it's, you know, being able to get into a quality studio setting to give themselves a really good sound, you know, to work with some quality, you know, people that can help make effective changes to, you know, how they step out there in this industry. I mean, they'll invest in what they want to, and the things that they should be investing in, they don't value yet on so many levels, you know. And so when I decided that I was no longer going to do work for free, it's a beautiful thing because I think place that I wasn't even recognizing for my own self because of the years that I put in the work, that when I just said no more, that I'm a business person and you have to pay for my services. And of course, you know me, baby girl, I'm always going to do a little bit more, you know, always, you know, that somebody's not paying for. I actually have clients coming to me. I'm not going after them. And so now I get paid.
It's a great feeling.
What I do. It is really a great feeling, you know, because I didn't know if it was going to be that easy, you know. But my business mentor, and she has nothing to do with this industry, she's like, Susan, know your worth. And what you do for people in the industry get paid for. And the knowledge that you have and the connections that you have, you need to really stop, you know. And when I started really seeing that, it made it really easy to turn it into a business where I've been struggling over the last few years. Like, how do I do this? And when I believed in myself and what I know and all of that, it made it very easy. The other thing I appreciated that you said, Erica, is you know, exploring and getting to know where you can gain more knowledge, as like you go into, you know, the webinars or workshops, you know, that people are doing, you know, just like you were speaking on the Music Industry Blueprint, gentlemen and stuff. I don't think that people realize there are workshops out there, and especially you can find out about them right on social media, and they're free. Now, if you want to take it further, you know, if you want to take it further, of course, these people will then try to bring you in to paying for additional services, but they give you really valuable information in a 1 hour, you know, 2 hour online webinar. And I wish that more people took advantage of that. I've been spending a lot of time, you know, doing, and in a variety of ways, from having inner peace to being a smart business person to being somebody who speaks to, you know, who's a coach. I mean, I've done all kinds, and I value that resource that's available for free, you know. And so that you brought that up because that's just another way of gaining knowledge. And I think the more knowledge that you have, it helps you gain confidence. It helps you understand maybe where you were missing things and how you were going about your business. Because if you're an artist, you're a business. And I think that
exactly
artists don't recognize that. So I'm really glad that you called in, and I'm so glad that you told me that my mic wasn't working and that people couldn't hear me talking. So, you know, I, again, Erica, you're worthy of everything that you want in life, and everything that you are doing is going to be, you know, even better. And I love the fact that, you know, you've taken your life struggles and stuff, but you never gave up. You know, and that's a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. And I think that you are definitely one who eventually will have to write a book, because I'm writing a book too. But I think that you might have to write a book, because I know you've got stories to tell. and worthy, you know, and information to give, you know. And I think that you can be that resource too, you know, that, you know, can do your own webinars or workshops or, you know, whatever it is, and inform people. One of the things that I keep hearing a lot is, I don't have that information. And I'm like, okay, how come I can get the information and you can't? And I'm not an artist.
Well, you know what? If I could just say something really mm-hmm. quick, I think I really understand why. And here's a story to back up what I'm about to say. I used to work for a gentleman who had a cabinet company, and what I learned about working with him is he liked creating the cabinets and being in the workshop and playing with the wood, you mm-hmm. know, and just being able to create the cabinets that all of the clients wanted, and he wanted somebody in the office to do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think a lot of artists, I don't know if it's fear or if it's just lack of being consistent or just being lazy, you know, that's too much work. It's too much work to get the information when I can just go to somebody else who's already done the work
mm-hmm.
and just go to them and ask them about it versus you know, we're all on Facebook. If I find something, I'll reshare it, you know, if I feel like it's worth telling everybody. Because some things I find out, I don't tell everybody on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've learned in the past couple years that there's a lot of things that I've put in place that are still going on, and I get no mm-hmm. accolade from it. And I think that's just unfair. And so with that being said, I think there are some artists who they do want the information, but they don't want to put in the work to do it. They just mm-hmm. want to be the creative department and the creative director, and that's all they want to do. They don't want to know about the contracts. They don't want to know about, you know, how do you present yourself in front of a, you know, an actual business person. They don't want to know, you know, these are the steps that you can take to grow your fan base. And what I've learned from this guy, Rick, is that it's so easy, and, you know, I love the term, it's not rocket science. It's not. It's mm-hmm. really not. It's not rocket science. But for people who don't want to put in the work, it is rocket science. And think about the generation that is coming up right now, and even my generation and older generations that are following suit of the generations now, the millennials, where it's just easier to be lazy and have somebody else to do it.
Well,
and
I think the problem,
that's unfortunate.
I think the other thing, too, is that to be able to create the right team. And it's not about bringing just a whole bunch of your homies on board, you know, to be a part of your team. They might be your street team, but not your business team. You got to find people that have skills that can do certain tasks that's needed. You know, even if it's not something they've ever done, but maybe they have really good people skills and they know how to talk. Somebody else may be very good at paperwork or really just kind of pushing it in trying to find and cold calling and this and that. You need to find a team that's really, really effective if you're not able and willing to do that. And I think that's the problem. Is a lot of artists don't find that right team, you know, that can make things work. I think that people, if they have had jobs in their lifetime, they don't understand that they can transfer skills that they learned on their jobs to this industry. If you had to be someplace on time, you had that discipline to be there on time, you can transfer that discipline into what you're doing as you plan out your day. If you had to, maintain, a project, time management, those are skills that you can transfer over into what you're doing as an artist or being a part of an artist team. And so I think that, artists need to really look at that. But first of all, for an artist, I think it really goes back to, again, them being likable. It's not necessarily about you having skills, but you being likable. And if you don't throw off an energy and if you don't have a presence that people gravitate towards, that want to get to know you and pay attention, you're not going to, no matter how talented you are, you're not going to take it too far. And, so I think this was a great conversation today, Erica. I'm so happy that you called in again. I think I kind of needed you to call in. So maybe God just kind of sent you this way also to let me know my mic wasn't working, but, to have this conversation. Because, that's what I like to do on this particular show is to talk about the industry, and to have people call in and share the time with me. So I'm very, very grateful for you, letting me open up the phone line because I didn't ask you, right? You didn't raise your hand, but I just know you like to talk just like me, and that you got so much to say, and I respect you so very, very much. But I'm gonna jump back into playing some music the last 15 minutes of the show, so I don't know if you want to just hang on the line and listen or go about your morning.
Oh no, I'll be online.
Okay, then I'm gonna put you on hold.
Okay.
All right, you're listening to Flava Coffee House, and that was Erica Reed, a young woman. I'll call her part of my family also. We have a connection outside of the industry too. And the funny thing is I've never met Erica in person, but I feel like I know her. And again, she's somebody who has stepped out in the industry, and she chooses to educate herself. On things. She sits back, she watches, she pays attention. She has learned and grown just like I have. I could be her mama, but, I do consider her somebody who is like a colleague, somebody in the industry, because she comes from a different type of mindset and a different era, in a sense, in coming into this, and I value that. And I value what she brings to the table, even in my world, in opening my eyes to some things and how maybe a different group of artists and industry people, how they view things. So thank you so much, Erica. I'm going to jump into a piece. I'm going to play a piece by some artists over there in the UK. This is by, I want to say his name is K-Gem. I guess I need to ask James Cola how this artist says his name. K-Jam. The piece is called Entropy, and it's featuring James Cola out of the UK.
Now
Tuning into Flavor Coffee House today and hanging out with Erica Reed and I as we shared, you know, information about the industry, our thoughts, you know, on what's going on and why it's going on, and, you know, playing some music for you. I'm sorry that there was some technical difficulties at the top of the hour, but thanks to Erica, we got that worked out. I think what happened is my headphones became loose, and so I could hear the music, but I guess you couldn't hear me talking. But I just want to kind of go over the music that I actually played today in case you missed that information or that I didn't give it out. So opening up the show, I played Kuala Lumpur with Thank You featuring Miss Margot B from the Boardwalk Empire HBO series. Going into Melanie Roberts with Take Time to Fall in Love. That song was written by Brian Christopher. Going into my baby boy, Sheldon Butler, with You and I, his brand new track. And then going into Peta Wayne out there in New York with Keep Watching What I'm Doing, Eric Moore for You, and then my boy Walt Dees with My Bad. Then closing out today's show, again, I'm not sure how to say this artist's name. That's the interesting thing about when you get music sent and you communicate online, but you never talk to them, so you don't know how to say their names. But I'm going to say K-Jam with Entropy, featuring James Cola, one of my favorite UK artists, going into Chuck Eaton out of Brazil with Love, L-O-V-E, and closing out today's show with Gina Carey and her piece Side by Side. I hope that you're doing well, wishing you an absolutely wonderful day. Know that that person that you look at in the mirror is an amazing, amazing person and loves you so very, very much. Start there with you. Enjoy your day. Come back and hang out with me on all of the shows that I do from Flava Coffee House online. Have a great, great Saturday, and thank you so much for your support.